to have you here today as we gather for worship. And it is rather wet outside, but we are very grateful and thankful for the rain. But it is good to have you here today. A special welcome to Dr. Lorraine Luft, who is our guest organist today and next Sunday, as Marilyn Glover is on vacation. And Lorraine, it's wonderful to hear the organ and hear you playing it, and it's glad to have you here with us today. Also, a special welcome to anyone who may be visiting today, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask you to fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm just going to call your attention to that. Do just want to also call your attention to the announcements that are printed underneath that as well, some upcoming events that are taking place. In addition, there is an insert today on the World Mission Offering. It is one of our four annual mission offerings that we are receiving, and I'll be talking a little more about this in my sermon today, but do just want to call your attention to that insert. And also, I do want to give you an update on the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, receiving emails in recent days regarding special gifts that are being sent to the Caribbean islands for the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. And this is a press release from our denomination in Valley Forge. Initial grants totaling $25,000 in One Great Hour of Sharing emergency relief funds are on their way to American Baptist International Ministry partners in Haiti, Cuba, and the Caribbean after Hurricane Matthew barreled through October 3rd and 4th. The Category 4 storm brought heavy winds and torrential downpours on the island nations in its path. I think we saw some of that on television. Hurricane Matthew entered Haiti on the southwestern coast with winds causing devastating impact. International Ministries missionaries in Haiti, Nancy and Steve James, who are now residing in the U.S., got word that people in Grangove, west of Port-au-Prince, and in the north of Haiti, at the University of Northern Haiti, experienced less impact. They write, lots of rain, but no damages. Steve reports Komi Ngwani and Zunga Madaga, international missionaries in Haiti, are also safe in the U.S. now. The Reverend Adelia Gutierrez Lee, American Baptist International Ministries area director, said, our hearts and prayers go out to our brothers and sisters in Haiti, Cuba, Jamaica, and other Caribbean islands that have been affected by Hurricane Matthew. One Great Hour of Sharing funds will be providing food, clothing, and temporary shelter for the victims. If you would like to help in this way in reaching out to those, this disaster relief, gifts may be made through our church, may be payable to the church. Please note that it's One Great Hour OGHS or Hurricane Matthew in the memo, and we will make sure that money is directed to the appropriate place so that we can reach out in love and let others know in their time of need that we are responding. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 697 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading selected verses from the Gospels. Let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Do you not say, 4 months more and then the harvest? Even now the reaper draws his wages. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. We have received that commission from Jesus, and we gather this day to worship him. Our opening hymn is "We Have a Story to Tell to the Nations," number 698. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you with awe, for you are great in love and power. You also are the source of story and song. Help us hear your word in the midst of our worship, so that we may share that message with others whom we encounter. By your powerful Spirit, turn our fear to courage and our confusion to confidence, so that we will serve as faithful followers of Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we ask this. We now join in the prayer that he taught, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. This morning we are going to be watching three videos on the World Mission Offering. Marilyn Glover has suggested two, and I added a third one at the end. The material I'm using for my sermon today comes out of the World Mission Offering promotion packet, and they had recommended showing this video. So rather than trying to put it in my sermon, we're going to show it now. And I'm going to encourage you to try and remember the things that are told. I may be highlighting some of them again, so if you don't catch everything, you may hear it again.
Hi, I am Adalia Gutierrez Lee, and we invite you to be part of this vision in Cuba as we faithfully serve together in ministry.
Cuba has been shrouded in mystery since the Cuban Revolution led by Fidel Castro. When the Cuban government declared itself socialist, Cuba's relationship with the United States changed. The U.S. embargo on Cuba, followed by the Cuban Missile Crisis, began a pattern of mistrust that has lasted more than 50 years. It is not surprising that when Cuba and the U.S. began to explore normal diplomatic relations, many people in both countries felt hope. As diplomatic relations improve, international ministries is seeking opportunities to learn more about their brothers and sisters in Cuba. How did they endure decades of communism? What resources do they need? How can new partnerships be formed? American Baptist work officially began in Cuba in 1898. The leaders of the Southern Baptists and American Baptists met in Washington, D.C., and it was decided that Southern Baptists would work in the western portion while American Baptists would focus in the eastern portion. During the 1900s, churches, schools, and hospitals were built. After the Cuban Revolution and the implementation of communism in 1961, foreign Protestant missionaries abandoned the country, as did many Baptist leaders and members of their churches. Those who stayed were detained, arrested, and some sent to labor camps. Churches had to be registered with the government. Any gatherings in homes or other public places were prohibited. Baptists never imagined that their faithfulness in sowing the gospel would bring unprecedented harvest. With the fall of Soviet support in the early 1990s, Cuba entered a decade of shortages of every type of resource. The streets were empty of vehicles and the markets of food. It became known as the special period. But it was during this struggle to simply stay alive that a spiritual awakening happened. In 1992, Christians implored a Cuban government for permission to build new churches to accommodate the growing crowds flooding the churches. The government asked, "What is it with you Christians and your buildings? Can't you pray in your houses?" So they did. God used this to explode the work of the gospel across Cuba. The Casa Culto House Church and Casas de Oración, Houses of Prayer, were born. A new period of development and growth continues. Today, 70% of the Cuban Baptist churches are house churches and houses of prayers. American Baptist leaders are exploring new partnerships with the Cuban Baptists. Mercy Gonzalez, Madeline Flores, Ketley and Vital Pierre, Melinda Bates, David and Joyce Reed are traveling to Cuba once or twice a year to pursue projects related to their ministries. Cuban Baptists are seeking to equip leaders in the areas of youth ministries, discipleship, church planting, and have invited us to share resources for these ministries. Today, a new historical initiative is unfolding between Cuba and the United States, not only politically and economically, but also through partnership through Grow God's Kingdom. We invite you to be part of this vision as we faithfully serve in mission.
I believe faith is a living and creative expression of grace that impacts all of our relationships. And I believe the arts have a vital role in shaping, expressing, and making sense of everyday life.
I'm Melinda Bates, regional missionary for Ibero-America and the Caribbean.
My ministry focuses on biblical teaching and modeling the use of expressive arts in trauma healing, in worship, advocacy, experiential education, and conflict transformation. I have seen firsthand how using the creative arts bridges cultural, emotional, and psychological barriers to create a space for spiritual renewal and for healing. Much of my work has been with women and children in Costa Rica, Mexico, Nicaragua, Bolivia, and Chile. But now, we have the opportunity to partner with Cuba. Around the world, Cuba is known for its rich and vibrant music, literature, and art. People are rigorously trained for 11 years at the art and music schools of Cuba, and they're all paid for at government expense. These are the future musicians, dancers, visual and performing artists of Cuba. There's a saying in Cuba that goes, "When there is nothing, Cubans invent out of the air." We have much to learn from our Cuban brothers and sisters. We serve a creative God who weaves art and beautiful expression into the very fabric of worship and daily life. There were skilled artisans mentioned in both the Old and the New Testaments who were called to use their gifts to honor God and to serve others. And so by collaborating with our Cuban Baptist partners, we and international ministries are privileged to be on the cutting edge of expressive beauty and its transformative power to renew and to heal. I believe that thoughtful and active engagement at the intersections of faith, culture, and art can be a powerful transforming initiative between international ministries and its Cuban partners.
Surprising things in Cuba. In the past 25 years, the number of Baptist churches has grown 450%. Baptisms have risen 530%. The number of pastors has nearly tripled. Total church membership has climbed over 400%.
Yeah.
What's fueling this amazing growth? How did this spiritual awakening come about?
El cambio comenzó a producirse en el periodo difícil que se llamó el periodo especial de gran escasez. Coincidió con la caída de la Unión Soviética. Fue una época muy difícil en el país y eso también propició que comenzara a desarrollarse el turismo que había sido abolido en Cuba completamente. Y comenzó a abrirse el país y comenzó también pues la iglesia a tener ciertos contactos.
The subsequent growth of the Baptist churches has been remarkable, and it is exemplified today at the Second Baptist Church Peniel in the small city of Higuaní. Here's a church that has grown from 7 to 314 members in the past 9 years, literally in the pastor's backyard. Vibrant worship is touching hearts and minds of young and old alike. Two mission churches are extending the congregation's reach to outlying parts of the city. Evangelism events grounded in prayer and a thriving marriage ministry are reaching and teaching people to grow in their faith. Even more exciting is the youth ministry that is growing fast in Higuaní and throughout Cuba.
Es gratificante poder trabajar y poder lograr y ver el resultado que a medida que vas trabajando con esta juventud, ves cómo el Señor va tocando, cómo el Señor va trabajando, cómo ellos se van afirmando en los caminos del Señor. Es el gozo de nosotros el ver que llegan y se quedan.
Y no hay nadie como tú.
Higuaní is also the site of an annual pastors' conference sponsored by International Ministries, where hundreds of church leaders receive teaching, resources, and encouragement from Puerto Rico-based volunteer mission teams. Your support of the World Mission Offering is making the pastors' conference possible and helping to fuel the spiritual growth in Cuba and in 69 other countries around the world. Together, let's continue to respond to God's call. Give generously to the World Mission Offering.
We are receiving your gifts to the World Mission Offering through the month of October. As I said, we're ministering in 70 different countries around the world. And while we're focusing on Cuba and the Caribbean islands this fall, our money goes all over the world. And in coming weeks, we'll be meeting some of our other international missionaries who serve in that area. So let us prayerfully consider our gifts to the World Mission Offering. Letter did go out, but also there are envelopes in the pews if you'd like to make a special gift today. And at this time, the teacher and students may go to their class, and choir may go to the choir loft. We come to the time in our service that we're able to share celebrations and concerns with one another, and then spend a few moments in prayer. And celebration, Paul Patry is able to be with us today. It's good to see you. Paul came in. Glad you're feeling well enough, Paul, to be here today. We also want to remember Helen Fleet. Helen is at home, came home last Sunday from rehab, and is doing okay at home. She has therapists coming in and visiting nurses, but Helen's doing okay at home. Also, another celebration, Chuck and Cindy Huddy have returned from Hawaii. It's good to have you back with us, and glad your mom's doing okay and has other family members there now. So good to have you back with us. Also, I'm going to continue to remember Mae Upperman, who is at home. And I heard from Claire Stevens last night. I had tried to reach her earlier in the afternoon, and phone sort of got disconnected, and I wasn't surprised. But she did call me on her cell phone, said that the storm had gone through their area, and They had lost power and phones, so she was using her cell phone, which she didn't really care to use, but was able to do that, and they were okay. They were beginning to clean up. They didn't have any damage. There were no injuries at, you know, her exact spot. She was not sure if she'd make it to church today because the bridge was closed on the way to the church. So she wasn't sure if she was going to make it to church today. But Clara does send her love and best wishes to all of us, and she is doing okay in Florida. As far as other hurricane spots, I spoke with Dorothy and Lana on Friday night. As far as their family and friends in Jamaica, again, had wind and rain, but had not suffered a lot of damage in Jamaica as well. And we want to keep Lana and Dorothy in prayer. They are in New York today visiting their brother who had surgery on Friday. And so they're in New York today. And another celebration is, I understand it's Dave and Dottie Latta's wedding anniversary today. So we wish them well and congratulations on that. And Mark Boxen mentioned that the infant that we've been praying for is now 6 pounds, 11 ounces, so that she's gained 6 pounds since she was born. And that's a real celebration. Do you have any requests for prayer, either a celebration or a concern? Okay, a friend of Peggy's is on the liver, needs a liver transplant, and is waiting for that. And also, I know you have some family members that have some health issues, so we want to keep them in prayer as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? Cindy.
Two of my friends have requested prayers. My friend Susan has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. My girlfriend Margie's husband has bladder cancer.
Okay, one friend has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And another friend's husband has bladder cancer?
Bladder cancer.
Bladder cancer. So we want to keep those two families in prayer today as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? Betty. Right, so we want to keep granddaughter Genevieve in prayer, has a boot on her foot. So we want to keep her in prayer as well. Anyone else? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we are grateful for being able to come to your house this day to worship you. And yes, while some of us might have grumbled that we were damp and wet as we came in, we recognize the people south of us who have suffered tremendous loss due to this storm. Lord, we lift them up today and pray for your spiritual presence to be with them, that they may not lose hope in the face of devastation. We pray for those who are responding now and will be responding in the weeks and months to come to help with the recovery efforts. Lord, we pray that not only our One Great Hour of Sharing dollars, but those other agencies that are going to the area to provide relief, that they may all, the funds may be used wisely to meet the needs of the people there, that they may recognize that they are not alone in their struggles. There are others who care for them, who love them, and are reaching out to them in tangible ways. And Lord, this day we lift up those who are ill and pray for healing in their lives according to your will. It's good, Lord, to have good news that several people that have been ill are recuperating now and feeling better, and we thank you for that. Lord, we are mindful of all of your blessings for us. And Lord, we just ask that you would continue to bless us as we continue in this worship service. And as we go out from this time of worship, that your Spirit will be with us to strengthen us and encourage us in all that we say and all that we do as disciples of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we ask all of these things. Amen. We read in the Bible that part of being a person of God is to give a thanksgiving offering, to say thank you in tangible ways to God for his blessings. We have an opportunity of doing that this morning by presenting our tithes and gifts as the ushers receive the morning offering. Pray together. Lord, we present these tithes and these gifts to you and ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Christ's love to others. We ask this in his name. Amen. May be seated. Virginia Williams is our lay reader today and will be reading the scripture as soon as we get her mic.
This morning's scripture is Matthew 6, verses 7 through 15. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you that they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and your face. Thus endeth the reading of the scripture. May God bless us all.
Thank you, Virginia. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard these very familiar words for most of us from Matthew's gospel, Jesus' instruction of his prayer for his disciples, Lord, we just pray this morning that those words might come alive for us as we've prayed them earlier today and as we've heard and read them from the Bible now. We just pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you, and those words of the prayer may become alive in us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. When you hear the word Cuba, what comes to mind? Perhaps for history buffs, they may remember the name Fidel Castro in the year 1959. Those interested in geography might picture an island about 90 miles off the Florida coast. Movie fans might think of Cuban cigars. Those who follow the news may think of the recent political changes and the relationship between the U.S. and Cuba. And after this week, some may think of Cuba as one of those island nations in the direct path of Hurricane Matthew. But by the end of today's message and this month's World Mission Offering promotion, I hope we will all think about celebrating the spiritual revival that is taking place in Cuba. We will soon know how much there is to celebrate as we learn about the Baptist witness on the Caribbean island nation of Cuba, where the phrase from the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done on earth as in heaven," is being fulfilled. How much excitement I got from watching the videos earlier today. When Jesus instructed his followers to do, and what most congregations try to do, to reach out to others with an invitation to follow Christ and to provide discipleship and leadership training opportunities, is what is now happening in Cuba. As I previewed the video segments for today's Mission Moments, I realized that I did not know a lot about Cuba. I was very young when drastic changes took place in this island nation, so geographically close to the U.S. mainland, yet so very far away in social development through government repression. A few highlights from Cuba's history that you may have picked up from the video, but I may be expanding on a little bit, include these. In 1898, mission boards of American Baptists and Southern Baptists agreed to divide their work on the island. The Southern Baptists were assigned the western part of Cuba, where Havana is located, and American Baptists to eastern Cuba, where the largest city is Santiago. And during the 1900s, churches and schools and hospitals were built. They prospered. Faith was alive on the island of Cuba. But there was a political revolution in the country in 1959 when Fidel Castro seized power, and eventually power went to Raul, his brother. In 1961, the Castro-led Cuban government nationalized religious properties and declared itself atheist, leading to oppression of the church. And as this took place, foreign Protestant missionaries left the country, as did many leaders and members of their churches. Those who stayed experienced much persecution. Restrictions were placed on churches and religious gatherings, and homes were prohibited. And this continued for about 30 years. And if we fast forward to the early 1990s, when the Soviet Union's support of Cuba ceased, despite the increased hardship faced by the people, yet a great spiritual awakening took place. Cuban Baptists prevailed upon the government to decrease restrictions that had been imposed, and changes gradually occurred. Cuba today is not like the stereotypical image we have from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. As the last video we watched showed, the Cuban church has a dramatic new life that is being experienced there on earth as it is in heaven. Recapping the information that we saw in the last video, that while the government of Cuba is tolerant of religious practices, it still does not encourage nor endorse the construction of house church buildings. Believers are encouraged to meet in house churches. The Second Baptist Church of Penuel in Higani, Cuba, is a shining example of this. And we saw some of the exuberance and the worship that was taking place there, but other things were going on as well. The church began in 2007 as a living room Bible study with 7 members. Today, it's a house church with 314 members. Its ministries include 60 to 70 children who attend services and 2 youth groups that have a total of 56 members. But that's more in-house of what they're providing for those that come. But that church is not just inward focused, it's also outward focused, for it also conducts evangelism events. It hosts a thriving ministry, marriage ministry, and sponsors 2 mission churches in outlying parts of the city. And they recently conducted a baptism, as we saw in the video, and if you see any of the promotion material, there's a poster on the back wall of the sanctuary, has that picture of that baptism. This morning's scripture text is a familiar one for many of us. We often call it the Lord's Prayer, but it can also be called the Disciples' Prayer. Jesus gave the prayer as an example for praying among those who follow him. It was not necessarily intended to be learned by rote and repeated word for word. Jesus was giving us an example of the things and the manner in which we should pray. One of the wonderful things about our faith and discipleship is that it's not static. It's not an inactive life. Christ does not call people to come and follow him, but yet go sit in the rocking chair for the rest of their lives. They are to be active in thought, in word, and in deed. And certainly when we become a new believer, there's a period of instructions necessary. That's discipleship training. But then we have marching orders to go into the world to show and tell others about Jesus. A life of discipleship means continuing to identify God's will and following it so that God's will is done on earth as in heaven. Another important facet of our faith journey is leadership training. While not everyone has the gifts needed to be a leader, those who do need to have those gifts identified, developed, and utilized. God uses the church to bring God's will to earth, so leadership training is important. Discipleship and leadership training are priorities among Baptists everywhere, including Cuba. A new beginning for Cuba started in 1996. American Baptist International missionary Sue Hegarty was one of the first Baptist missionaries allowed in Cuba since the 1959 revolution. She is now serving in Costa Rica, but she ministered for 12 years at the Eastern Cuba Baptist Theological Seminary in Santiago de Cuba, founded in 1949. She led a seminary writing team that created a more particularly participatory form of Christian education, something that was new to Cuba's churches and is now common throughout the country. You'll note in today's bulletin insert that former students of that course that she conducted years ago still benefit from the education they received. Sue Hegarty's ministry in discipleship and leadership training bring God's healing and hope because lives are transformed. I mentioned earlier that some of us most recently might think of Cuba as being one of those island nations in the path of Hurricane Matthew. And I want to bring you an update from one of our partners there. Hurricane Matthew arrived in Cuba at Guantanamo on the eastern side of the island nation. International Ministry's partner in that region is the Baptist Convention of Eastern Cuba. An email received Friday from International Ministry's friends, Pastor Israel Castro and Loida Rodriguez, who live and work in Chivrico, Cuba, reported on the extent of the devastation with these words. "We are back home. Thank God we have power. We had a lot of flooding, but few losses. However, Veracoa, a city on the eastern coast, is a total disaster. The whole town is devastated. We have been in communication with the missionary coordinator of the deaf ministry, and 99% of the deaf people lost their homes and everything they had. We don't know anything about Maasai, also on the eastern coast. We believe they lost everything, but still don't know for sure. There is no communication. We hope that within 10 days the roads are fixed and we can bring some help, like rice, soap, and see if there is anything we can do." International Ministries has no residential global service in Cuba, so we rely on partnerships that we have established there. And Pastor Rodriguez, are some of those ways that there are eyes, our hands on that island nation. And well, I'm sort of mixing up offerings this morning, but it's both are so important. The World Mission Offering is important because it goes to sustaining the ongoing ministry and mission work around our world. While the One Great Hour of Sharing is often thought of the disaster offering and relief efforts, but the money is there to help when there are these needs. And the island nation of Cuba right now needs both our prayers and our financial gifts, both to the World Mission Offering, which will support the ongoing ministry there, and the One Great Hour of Sharing offering, which will go to the immediate needs. So as we pray for God's will to be done on earth as in heaven, we can celebrate how it is already happening in Cuba. We have an opportunity to support what we celebrate by giving of our offerings. The World Mission Offering strengthens our witness not only in Cuba, but also in more than 70 countries around the world. We can also reach out in love through our One Great Hour of Sharing offering to those in need. Let's pray together. Lord, for many of us, Cuba may not be a well-known nation. It's been repressed. It's been hidden away. But Lord, we know that the doors are opening, that people are going there to visit. Orchestras are going to provide music, that things are opening up, and we are so grateful for that. Lord, we pray for our Baptist partners in Cuba as they minister, especially in this time of need, but also as they continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ to people who have been repressed, who have been prohibited from knowing about Jesus' love. Lord, we pray that however we may help and support that ministry, that we may be about that, so that your work may, we may work, and things may take place here on earth as in heaven. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is Go Forth and Tell, number 701. We'll be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. Let us go out to be Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth as we accept our mission to be God's people in the world. For we have a story to tell. It is the story of God's grace. May we live that story in all that we say and all that we do. Amen.